The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for the Success or Failure Show with Tom and Terry. This is where you find insight into best practices for a more successful business. Here are the hosts of the show, Tom Legering and Terry Munther.
Hello and welcome to Success or Failure with Tom and Terry. I'm Dr. Terry Munther along with author and entrepreneur Tom Legering. Each month we get together on this program to discuss and share ideas for meeting personal and financial goals and improving the quality of our lives. We'll talk about the tried and true concepts found in the book Success or Failure, The Choice is Yours, and we'll hear from business partners and guests about their projects, success stories, and how they're finding their path to a happy, healthy, and successful life. We hope you'll join in the conversation by calling us or emailing with your thoughts and comments at blogtalkradio.com/boomerandbabe. Or at www.successorfailure.org. With that, we'll get the show started. Once again, I'm Terry Munther. My partner Tom is here. Say hello, Tom.
Good morning.
And also with us today is Cindy Seipel, business partner from Helper Bee. Good morning, Cindy.
Good morning.
We've got a full agenda today, and Tom's asked me to kind of start out things because it's been a busy time for me. As we talked last month, I have a new venture in real estate. My wife Pam and I have gotten our real estate licenses here in Arizona, where we're broadcasting from, and we've been selling homes mainly to boomers who are retiring and looking for a retirement place in Arizona, specifically in the Phoenix and Sun City area. And so that's been a new venture where I've used a lot of the concepts from the book and the trainings that we do about visualization of what success will be in a new business and setting the goals and writing what those goals are and checking progress along the way. It's been a very, very busy time for Pam and I, and we can talk more about that. Most recently, and where we were going to start the show off, is sharing some of the conversation I had most recently. I taught a class at Rio Salado Community College, which is here in the Surprise, Arizona area. And the class was a class made up really of, again, boomer age people and a few people who are even older than that who were coming to listen to the Success or Failure, The Choice is Yours presentation that Tom and I have given to many groups and businesses. But we had some very, very interesting conversations, and I'd like to share just some of the things that we talked about maybe for the next 5 or 10 minutes or so. Tom and Cindy, join in, and please, again, those of you that would like can join in the conversation. You can call 1-917-388-4162, or again, back to the email addresses that we gave you, or the computer addresses, I should say. So we had the class full of folks that were, I would say, anywhere between the ages of 50 to 75, really good group of folks. And we talked about why they were there, of course, and it was that they were looking for something new or a direction or something they could do differently with their lives. Most of them either were not working, looking for other work in transition, or were retirees. And many people in the class, as usual, Tom, we hear this a lot, well, I'm retired, I'm doing fine, or I'm really too old to make a whole lot of changes, so I'm not sure exactly if I want to do anything or even could do anything. And then, of course, we started the conversation, or I did, and I think it's an interesting concept, is when I said, I really don't think there's an option of whether you change or not. Change is happening. If we just take a look at some of the statistics that I shared with them, the world is changing very rapidly. Here are a few that we opened up the class and started talking about. 25% of the highest IQ'd students in China. That's more than the entire population of North America. 28% of the highest IQ'd students in India is more than the entire population of North America. What that means for teachers, and again, as you've listened to this program, you know that I was at 30 years in public education. China and India have more honors students in their classrooms than we have students. Also, China will be the largest English-speaking country in the world. Today's learner in the classroom will have 10 to 14 jobs by the time they're 38. One out of every four workers in today's workforce has been in their job less than 1 year. One out of two workers has been in their current job less than 5 years. Again, as educators, former Secretary Riley said, the top 10 jobs that will be in demand in the future don't even exist today. So we're actually preparing students in our classrooms for jobs that do not exist. Kind of interesting, one out of eight couples that met last year met online. Cindy, that's your forte, is not meeting online, but helping people with social media. The number of text messages that was sent last year exceeds the population of the planet. And finally, there are 3,000 books published daily. If we just look at those statistics, Can you say the world is not changing? Now, you can say, I'm not going to react to it. But it's my theory that you really can't. By not taking action, you have taken an action, which has probably equal or more consequences if you don't act upon what's going on in your life. Because then, as we opened the class with and we talked about, we are all in transition. Whether we're retired, whether we're 75, whether we're 25, our life is a transition. And really isn't the question of whether we take action to direct our transition or whether we simply let that transition happen to us. A lot of those same concepts, Tom, you know, we share all the time.
Right out of the book, the idea is you can fail to plan, and that is your plan. That is failure. So if you don't recognize what's going on around you, your life will change whether you accept it or not. Your circumstances are going to change. There's too much going on in the world. And the other side of it is it's fun to change.
Exactly.
It's not a horrible thing. If you look at it and you actually have a plan, you will embrace the changes that are going on. It is so easy to do the jobs that we've done in the past because all this information is at our fingertips today. And these are the things that I've tried to do with the book is to show people it's not difficult. Once you pick up the gauntlet and move forward, yes, I accept change, I embrace change, and I want the change in my life because I want better things in my life.
Yeah, exactly. You know, as I shared with the class, we entitled the class Success or Failure, the Choice is Yours. I have a subtitle for it, and it's really what I used to title presentations that I was doing when I was doing public speaking around the country, and that's Don't Die with Your Music in You. The story behind that is really thanks to my wife and also Dr. Wayne Dyer, is that I really enjoy playing guitar and singing, and used to present quite often nationally and locally in my previous life. But I was really too scared to ever play my music in public. I mean, I would play for the kids and family around the campfire, but that was it. My father was a very talented musician and throughout his lifetime, but I always just thought, oh, it's just something fun to do. And so in struggling what I could do with a presentation one time. In fact, it was a fairly major presentation. Pam came to me and she shared with me the program that was on PBS of Dr. Wayne Dyer, and it was entitled Don't Die With Your Music In You. And she said, why don't you use music in your presentation? She said, you love to sing, you love to play guitar. Why would you not incorporate that into the presentation? It's different, people would like it, and you'd enjoy it. And I said, oh, no, I could never do that. It would be, too embarrassing, number one, and what if I screwed up, et cetera, you know. And she said, don't die with your music in you. You know, you're going to get old and you're going to die, and you're going to say, I wish I would have played in public, or I wish I would have had fun with it. And, I took that to heart and started doing presentations. I, first of all, with my staff, started out a little more safely, but eventually was doing presentations for national conferences of 2,000 people, doing Elvis impersonations and singing four or five songs throughout the presentation and fitting it into the work. And I've always taken that into heart. It was the same thing, is that I was in transition, but I had to get out of my comfort zone, as we talk about a lot. I couldn't just sit there. I had to get out of my comfort zone. I had to take that risk, and I had to say, yeah, I'm not going to die with my music in me. And that's the point we talked about then in the class was, why don't we? Why don't we take that risk? Is it embarrassment? Is it that I'm just comfortable where I am, which is what most people would say? I'm afraid to take that risk. Will Rogers said, even if you're on the right track, you'll get run over if you just sit there.
Yeah.
And I think that's really true. And also, I shared some of these sayings that helped me kind of get going sometimes about change and taking a risk. The biggest mistake you can make is to be afraid of making a mistake. People want to learn to swim while keeping one foot on the ground. And one of my favorites is, you can't leave prints in the sand of time by sitting on your butt. And who wants to leave butt prints in the sands of time? And my favorite that Pam actually handed to me before I did my first presentation where I used music in front of people, and it's a quote by Mark Twain. It says, I have been through some terrible things in my life, some of which actually happened.
Yes.
Why don't we take those risks? That's a, it's a very key question. And so as Tom and I present to people and businesses, we're saying you are in your comfort zone. Change is happening whether you like it or not, and the choice is yours really to take action to direct your transition, whether you're a boomer or looking for a new direction in employment, or whether you're simply going to let that happen. So we had some great discussions along that way with these folks and really got them to visualize what they wanted, really talk about getting out of their comfort zone, balancing their lives so they can do that. Because as I shared with them, I don't want to tell you that getting out of your comfort zone and taking a risk, whether it's playing music in front of people or taking a risk to do something new in employment with your life or somewhere in between, it will be stressful. It will be challenging. It will be difficult. And in order to handle that stress and challenge, you really have to have your life in balance, physically, mentally, spiritually. And so that's important that you take care of your mind and body so that you're prepared to take these risks and take the challenge to get out of your comfort zone and to get on this path to success. And so we did spend some time about balancing our lives, which is chapter two of your book, Tom.
The idea of comfort zone is also in our book, where what we say is in a comfort zone doesn't mean you're comfortable. It just means you're willing to accept whatever is happening to you, but your dreams and goals happen to be just outside. And what we try to do with the book is to get people to understand comfort zone is just not quite comfort, but it's your comfort zone and you can expand it. It's yours. So all you have to do is reach out and expand that comfort zone to include your goals and your dreams and have the life that you want. So moving out of your comfort zone should not be a fearful thing, because every time you have a life experience, you learn. The major way that people progress in life is not from your successes. I've never learned anything from my successes. I only learn from my failures. And one of the sayings that I go by is to be a success, you only need two things, and this is from Will Rogers. You only need two things. First, ignorance. Second, perseverance. So if you start out on your plan and you have a total flop, it's okay, and you move through it. And then you get to the next one because you're still with perseverance trying to reach your goal. But the idea is that if you knew all the trouble you were going to have on your way to your success, you would say, I'm not doing that. So ignorance is bliss.
Exactly.
Just get started, get your plan together, think and visualize what Terry's talking about. Visualize where you want to be. Live that as if it's happening to you today. And then you, when you start thinking of your planning, you go to your visualization and you work backwards from that to where you are today, and you will see the path that you have to be on. It's very exciting.
And the piece that I will add to that, and I share it again with this class and I share it with every class, is along the way you will have stumbles.
Yeah.
And stumbling's not a bad thing, as George Pataki said. It means you, at least you're moving forward.
Stumble forward.
But what's important is that you have someone that is there for you when you stumble, to either be there to catch you or to pick you up after you fall. Now, I call that my reserve parachute.
Right.
I used to love to skydive when I was younger, and people would ask me, well, isn't it dangerous? Why do you jump out of a perfectly good airplane? I said, well, first of all, it's just the most fun you can imagine. Secondly, I've got a reserve parachute. You know, if one doesn't open, I'll just pull the other one. I mean, I did that three times. They always work. And that's always comforting to me. Well, in our lives, knowing that we're going to take a risk to get out of this comfort zone, that it's going to be stressful, that it's going to be challenging, it's going to be exhilarating as well, but that we are going to have stumbles and we're going to fall, you need to make sure that you have someone there that, number one, says it's okay to fail, and number two, to pick you up when you do. And in my life, that's been my wife, Pam. What I knew when I was actually in an Elvis costume in front of thousands of people across the country, number one was, well, first of all, I almost felt like one of those Southwest Airline commercials where, you know, I looked at this crowd and said, want to get away? But actually, afterwards, it was fun. But the only thing that carried me through that was my reserve parachute of Pam. And my kids saying, okay, what's the worst that can happen here? You know, these people are never going to see me again. I'm across the country, and I'm going to go home, and Pam and my kids will still love me. And she told me that before I left. And so I always had a reserve parachute, and I think that's critical. Whether, and it may be our boss in our current job. You want to take a risk and try something new. First of all, the boss has to say, I will allow you to do that, and more importantly, I'll allow you to fail at it. And that's that reserve parachute and having people help us. You know, there's Norman Schwarzkopf, General Schwarzkopf said, when you help someone up the hill, you're getting closer to the top yourself. And so part of this whole process of change and finding success, as Tom and I talk about, I think, is having someone there to help you up the hill, but equally important, knowing that you have to be a reserve chute for someone else to help them up the hill. We've got to help each other through change and transition and being able to take risks and stumbling and moving forward.
And that is one of the things that we do with the book. So you all know that when you do buy the book, first of all, I need to tell this story again, is that the proceeds from the book go to help autistic kids. And that's been, and the other thing is that when you buy the book, you get 3 months of free mentoring. So if you have any questions, you just email me, and I will get back to you within 24 hours. So we are your reserve parachute.
That's
so
right.
If you get started, we only ask you to get started. Find out not what we want to tell you, but we just give you the path, and you figure out what it is that you want. You define what success means to you and visualize yourself living that, and we will help you on your stumbles.
Exactly. And so, you know, as I summarize this piece, I guess, about our class and the conversations that we had with these folks, which was really, really kind of fun and exciting, I think, for all of us, I used another analogy of my life. You know, it's not You know, it's kind of one of those, it's all about me, not really. But besides skydiving, I used to love to fly airplanes as well and became a pilot actually at a fairly young age. And I had a wonderful instructor. And, you know, whether it's a teacher, or instructor, or a pastor or whatever, there's just great teachers throughout your life. And this instructor for me was just a great teacher. And so when I was learning to fly an airplane, he kind of summarized your whole book and our whole teachings, Tom, in this way. He said, you know, if you're going to fly an airplane somewhere, very first thing, Terry, you need to figure out is where you want to go. Mm-hmm. You better have a pretty clear picture where you want to land the airplane before you take off in it. Second thing is plan how you're going to get there. And he would painstakingly plan with maps and instruments and everything before he would let you get in the plane to get there. You had a flight plan, and you filed it, of course.
Right.
It had to be a filed flight plan. So know where you want to go, number one. Develop a plan. Sound familiar?
Yes. Yes, it is.
His third thing he said, before you go, check the oil. Don't ever get in the airplane without checking the oil, the prop, and doing an outside inspection. Well, what's that mean? There's our balancing your life. We've got to have our physical body ready to take on stress. We've got to be mentally strong. We've got to be spiritually strong. We've got to be willing to help our community. We've got to check our oil before we take off on this journey. Fourth thing he taught me was, once you're in the air and you're progressing toward your destination, check for landmarks so that you know you're on course. And he taught me when I was flying a plane, every 10 miles, look to your right, look to your left, look on your map, and that city, that railroad, that landmark should be there. What's that going to tell you? I'm on course. I'm on course toward my destination. We need to do the same thing as we're moving toward our plan for success, is we need to have landmarks that we check for, whether it be daily or weekly. How am I doing? Am I on course? Am I making progress? Fifth thing he said, which I've already mentioned, he said, Terry, I know planes are safe, but make sure you've got a backup or an emergency plan. And that wasn't necessarily a reserve parachute, although that may be the case. It was really, where are you going to land it if the engine sputters? Where are you going to land this if the weather gets bad? And so part of the planning was that backup of when things don't go well or you need to put it down, where are you going to put it down? Where are you going to rest? And so that was really, I thought, a valuable lesson. I think that's part of what we've talked about, that we need to have a reserve parachute. But in our plan, I think we also need to have some emergency backup plans of where we can land. And finally, he said, know in order to get there safely, you're going to need the help of others, instructors, air traffic controllers, other pilots. Otherwise, you're not going to get there. And that's very true. And so, again, as Tom just mentioned, part of being a reserve parachute, but also simply knowing you are going to need a support system and you need to be part of other support systems to meet your goals. When he mentioned all six of those things, and I had them in my notes from my pilot training, mm-hmm. You know, there are six things there. There are six chapters to the book. There's just different ways that we explain things, but really the message is the same. As we visualize our success, it's where we want to go. Then Tom talks about getting started and developing the plan and writing the plan, getting our life balance, checking the oil, checking our progress, having a backup plan, having that reserve chute, and go with the help of others. And the thing I ended that class with was one of my favorite sayings, and it's an African proverb, and it simply says, if you want to go alone, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go with others. And it's a fitting end to that class and this segment, and I appreciate those of you that are listening and tuning in, that it's exciting to us. We, as you can tell, we believe in it, we've lived it, we continue to live it. We are all in transition, and we hope that you will take the initiative to direct your transition.
I thank you for that, Terry, because this is actually the purpose of writing the book. It's not just for people to go into business themselves or how to improve yourself, but how to make yourself sufficient and have the things in life that you want in your life. It's expanding your comfort zone and having a written plan where every day you write down 10 things that you're going to accomplish that day. And the first things you start out with are the things for yourself. You have to, I try to tell people, it's you and your mirror first. And everybody says, oh, I want to help people. I want to help others. Well, that's a great goal, unless you need help yourself. If you can make yourself self-sufficient and get the things that you want so that you can live your life without being entitled to goods and services from other people, where you're producing more than you're taking, that's when life gets really good, and then you can start working with your spouse and your family and your community. But you have to take it in that order, and that means writing out and understanding what would make you happy and understanding exactly what that is. And I always tell people, get in and look in yourself in the mirror and start talking to yourself. I mean, some people said to me, well, like a parakeet. No, like a human being with a brain that understands that you need to be in charge of you. You are in charge of your happiness. It's not making the other person say, oh, okay, I need you to make me happy. Yes, that is part of what our life is. But if we are not happy ourselves and we don't know where we're going, it's very hard to help other people. And I think on that, I would like to welcome Cindy Seipel to our meeting. And she's with her own company called Helper Bee, LLC, and flying through your to-do list. And this Cindy's been going to our networking and several of our meetings, and now she's helping me with our website. And so if anybody has any problems with our website, please contact Cindy. And there's Cindy right now.
Good morning. Thanks for having me, Tom. I always enjoy talking to you about the book and your visions and how you're so committed to helping people in their lives and in their businesses. And I am a definite proponent for the Success or Failure book. It's been a very challenging book for me. It's been very therapeutic. So if you have not checked into the book, please go to the website and do it today. But being in business is not an easy thing, even if you decide to join, you know, a large company like, Mary Kay, or a lot of the ladies are joining companies that are already established, and they think, oh, well, this is easy, I can sell that product. But you really do need to have a plan, even if you're part of a big corporation. I am not. I took my idea. I was one of those people that said, oh, I want to help people, but I, in fact, need a lot of help myself, and Tom's made me realize that, so I owe him therapy fees. But it is really more than an idea and some business cards and a website to really be a success. You need to be happy in your life. And I, as a mom and a parent with teenagers now, you know, my life was kind of on autopilot, and I didn't really have a destination. You know, I was in my comfort zone, but definitely not comfortable. And now I'm so far out of my comfort zone that I don't think I can even see it on the horizon anymore. It's just way over there. But it's a good thing, because I'm at 53 years of age. I'm growing again, not just sitting in an office and being an administrative assistant and doing my duties and going home. And, you know, my life has taken on this whole new vision, and it's a wonderful, scary, up and down path. And I am so grateful that somebody gave me Tom's card, you know, when I was very new to networking, and said, here, you need to go talk to this gentleman. That was definitely a blessing in my life. But the book is a wonderful resource. It's got a guide on how to do a business plan, which I've not done yet, and how to define how you're going to reach your goals. And chapter 3, which is from Napoleon Hill's book, was the most challenging chapter for me. And it starts with the number one question is, fix in your mind the exact amount of money you desire. You would think that would be an easy question to answer, right? Wrong. So once I finally got past that, which was replacing my husband's income if something would happen to me, the next question is, what exactly will you give to receive that amount? And Tom said, you just can't put, whatever I need to do to, to get more definitive. And then the next question is, establish the date when you intend to possess that amount, which requires you to make a commitment and follow through on it. And then the next question is, create a definite plan and begin at once to put that plan into action. And then last of all, you need to write out a clear, concise statement, So all these things, putting it into writing is actually more difficult than it sounds, but it actually requires you to step forward, make a commitment, make a plan, and keep moving forward. You know, like they've said, you can sit and be supposedly in your comfort zone and not move anywhere, or you can face the possibility of failure and move ahead. So so excited to have the opportunity to be an entrepreneur, try to find success, become a happy, fulfilled person. And,
And you're taking the risk to get out of the comfort zone. It's a huge risk.
It's a huge risk, yeah. And I am not an out-of-the-comfort zone kind of person.
Most of us aren't. You know, we're a very stubborn lot, us human. I mean, it took us, 3,000 years to put wheels on our luggage, So we don't move at ease quickly, but that's the whole point, is we've got to start, right, Tom? And we have started, and we've got some other great things going. And Cindy, again, thanks for joining us. Continue to jump in, but I know also, Tom, we wanted to talk about some of the other things that have been happening. So I'll turn it over to you.
Okay. One of the things, as I was mentioning before, is the purpose of the book is to help autistic kids. And That's where the funds from the proceeds or the profits go to. And the person that we're working with is Penny Paltz, who's a 2-time LPGA champion, 18 years on the tour. She went and got certified to work with autistic kids. And I want to tell you that I sponsored 10 kids, so that all the families had to do is bring their child here. And then Penny was giving them a class, and it took us about a month to round up enough children to have the first class. It's a series of classes, 1-hour classes for 4 weeks. And we're just getting started, but Penny put a whole program together for these young children. And she's had 2 classes so far, and I actually got to meet the kids and meet some of the parents, and I want to read a letter from one of the parents. It starts out, "Hi, I just wanted you all to know that today went very well for Eric, and it looks like the rest of the boys as well. I had to drag him out of the house with him resisting all the way today, and he came home a changed kid. I have tried for years to get him involved in something, i.e. karate, soccer, etc., and he would just refuse, and even after trying various things. He had an interest in golf and seemed willing until it came down to getting him there today. He has been dealing with very low self-esteem and a number of other issues that have beaten down his confidence level over the years. He also struggles with severe dyslexia. Today boosted him up so high, it was a welcome relief. He did well and was happy with all that went on. He wants to come back and can't wait for Saturday. This is a major breakthrough for him, and I wanted you both to know it. What you are doing there is absolutely wonderful, and I like how you ended it with praise for each child. Please let me know if there's anything I can do to help keep this going. I will contact a few people that I know in the autism world, and they may have some ideas. Thank you both so very much, and all the others that are responsible for making this happen." And then she signed it, and basically her name, Jane, and then Mama to Eric. This is the kind of thing that we're trying to do with the book. I mean, not only does it help individuals, such as Cindy, who graciously came in today to help us and to tell people about what's going on, but the real benefit comes down to helping kids that there is no help for them, and there's not abundant of help. There's a lot of people that raise money for things, and there's a lot of people that try to give to autism and help out where they can. But we have actually a program that this letter was written after Eric attended the first class, and then he was looking forward to last Saturday, and they came out Saturday and had the class. He was absolutely ecstatic. I got to meet him and shake his hand, and he said that when he's older, he wants to get some training so that he can come and have a job at a golf course. I mean, this is taking a human being with a problem that can be handled. Maybe it can't be solved, but it can be handled and it can be adjusted where he could actually come in and be a productive human being. And this is really what this whole program is all about.
It's really kind of heartwarming that already he is developing his idea of what success looks like and part of a plan. I mean, here we are trying to get each other to do that, people our age, yeah. and you have a young student who's already got started,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. He's found a light in his life so he can follow toward that path. And this is really the epitome of what can be done if people just join together. First, you got to get yourself squared away. You have to know what makes you happy. You have to be self-sufficient. And that's basically what Terry's done that for himself and his life. I've done it in my life. Cindy's got her life pretty well put together. But then you look at, okay, now I can help other people. Now I can reach out. I don't have to be a stay-at-home person. I don't have to live in my cocoon. I can expand my horizon. And then, gosh, just think, I also have a reserve chute. I've never even pulled the first one, but I have a reserve on my first
one.
And
it's just good to know you have it. It will make all the difference in the world.
We all have a parachute, and I think if people will look at the book and try to go through that and figure out what's going on with it, and what's going on with themselves. And what we try to teach, and again, I'll go over the same point, is your comfort zone is not comfortable. Move out and beyond it, because we all have skills. It's how do we use our special skills to help other people while we're helping ourselves get the dreams and goals that we want for ourselves.
You know, and if you ever need a good visualization about how to get out of your comfort zone, just watch a kid with an iPhone or a computer. And I'm sitting there reading the instructions and afraid to touch a key, and they learn it by doing it and just not being afraid of the machine, you know. And it's a good lesson for all of us, though, to talk about just getting out of the comfort zone, taking the leap.
Oh, it's the innocence of children. Children don't worry about life's consequences like we adults do. We adults are, you know, what if, you know. And children just, they're like, oh, okay, I can do this, you know. So we need to be more childlike sometimes.
That's what I think Will Rogers was talking about, the ignorance. I mean, if you were an adult and you saw that this child doing, well, they're ignorant of all the things that can go wrong with what their action is, but what their real action is what can go right with it, because they're looking for solutions. This one I tried, I go type, it didn't work. Gee, big deal. I try something else. Gee, that didn't work. I try something else. Gee, that didn't work. I try something else. Gee, that didn't work. And finally, it works. Hey, look, Mom, I did this. And Mom's looking at it saying, whoa, how'd you do that? Because I just tried, but they just were totally ignorant of the fact that there was no consequences on their actions. They're
or
only
not afraid of the consequences.
Yeah. Well, they didn't recognize any.
Well, look at Thomas Edison.
Yeah.
I mean, he did exactly what you just said, too.
Yeah.
Tried this, it failed. Tried this, it failed. I mean, the show today was kind of built as to what's the commitment, right? What's the commitment that we're willing to make to find our success in this transition? And you know, as I opened the show talking about, first of all, you've got to make the commitment that you want to direct your transition through life rather than have it happen to you. And I think that's the first commitment. I will direct it. I will take action. I will get out of my comfort zone. Now, the other things have to follow as far as the balancing and your reserve parachute and all of that. But if we're talking about today and someone were to call in or someone were to email us after and say, I'm not sure what commitment I need to make, my answer would be make the commitment that you're going to control your own transition, that you're going to take action, that you're going to direct it and take the action, as you always say, get started. So that commitment may be, I'm going to get out of my comfort zone. I'm going to take that first step.
I would say the first step for people listening is to just go on our website. And I have the first page of the plan of the path that people would take. And it looks like a dollar sign. But what it is a spiral path where the dollar sign has a line coming through it. Those are actually barriers. And people don't, as the line comes through the S, the idea is that you do define success, but you can't go to balance your life. And there's a step there that you haven't made that transition. Yes, I can define life. I'd like $1 million. That would be success. Well, is it? I mean, can you visualize yourself? And like I tell people, making $1 million is the easiest thing in the world. All you got to do is save $25,000 for 40 years, no problem. Well, that, what are you going to do with it? And if you do get that and then it's 40 years later, what are you going to do in that situation? What is your life like? And as you go through that and you follow this path, the biggest problem I try to get people to understand is start.
Yeah,
you know,
that's what you're saying.
You can't even
that's
get to the
commitment.
That's
right,
the commitment.
Start.
You have to commit to start. What we're going to do is post on the website. We're working on a commitment letter. I've signed mine, and I'm asking people, you don't even have to buy the book. You can just make a commitment. Look at this. You can alter it. You can change it around. But make a commitment to yourself that you are going to become self-sufficient. You are going to be an entity. Doesn't mean you shut other people out. That is not the point of what I'm saying. It's you're going to figure out what you want, what makes you happy, how to expand your comfort zone. You're going to work on 10 things every day to help yourself move forward and to reach goals and get on the proper path so that you utilize all the skills and natural talent that we all have. The same thing with Cindy. What she was telling you is she had a life where she worked in corporate world and had jobs and would go to jobs and do the job, and everything was fine with that. But there was no other thing. No, where was she in that plan, and how did she fit in, and how did that plan really fit into what that occupation? How did that fit into what she wanted in her life? And I think if each one of us will go through those things and try to figure that out for yourself. And that's why I say you have to have a mirror, because you have to look at yourself. It's you must see what you look like, because most communication is nonverbal. So we're sitting here talking for most part of an hour, but you can't see us, so you don't know the other 90% of the conversation.
Yeah. You know, As we start winding down time-wise, too, we want to make sure that we kind of reiterate that one point as well. Well, the choice is yours, and you need a reserve parachute. Still, the bottom line is you have to look in the mirror and take responsibility for taking that initial step, and I think that's where you're going. we want to make sure we've got some time to talk about some of the events that are coming up and things that are happening that changes with success or failure. Choice is yours. We talked about the class we just did at Rio Salado. We'll continue to do classes for colleges and for universities as well as businesses, and you can contact us at www.successorfailure.org, either Tom or myself, and we'll schedule. Be happy to talk to your organization, whether it be a Rotary Club or a business or a university. And then Tom will continue to do his individual work and has been continuing to do that. You may want to mention, Tom, a couple of the things that you're still doing. I know you're still working with Eve's Place. We held a class with them, and then you kind of have followed that up, which is a center for those who have experienced domestic violence. Yep. And also, we want to make sure we hit on in the next couple of minutes here the work that you're doing, that we're doing actually with Debbie Brown and the book and the technology piece and upgrades of that.
I think I'll go right in with Eve's Place, which is a local charity that's designed to help victims of domestic violence. And I go every for an hour once a week on Thursdays, and I'm teaching, and the group is fairly small. It's around 15 people, and most of them have zero self-confidence. I mean, you don't get into that situation if you have your plan and you're living your life the way you want to, because you only let people in your life that are not going to be harmful to you. But anyway, the problem with that is that I'm dealing with a very small group. That's one of the problems. But individually, and I think Terry said this the best, we were talking about it. Yes, I go over there every week, and it's a changing group, and I don't really have a chance to really make an impact, but I'm getting them some basic foundation so that they can understand that they're in charge of their lives. And if they use a very good word, it's a two-letter word, it's called no. And you don't allow yourself to get back into the situation that you're in. And the main thing I teach them is the two-letter words, there's 10 of them. If it is to be, it is up to me. And we start out our class with that every time, and I try to help them with their self-confidence so that they can do that. And what we do is go right back to their education, the things that they're missing in their lives, what they need to do to get themselves out of their present circumstances so they're not revolving around going. They get out of these situations, go to a shelter, and then they go right back into the situation. And I try to point that out to
which
them.
Is,
so they
which is very typical of folks who are living with domestic violence, but also who are living in what, you know, as educators we call at-risk lives.
Right.
And we use the term with at-risk children or kids. And it's always a struggle. It's a daily battle, and there will always be setbacks. There will always be stumbles, you know, mm-hmm. and that's something that we're working with people and students that we've got to realize, number one, and be willing again to help pick them up and continue to move forward. But, you know, a conversation we were having right before the show, Tom, as you said, you know, it's a small group and actually almost a one-on-one thing at times. And, I, you know, sometimes you have to wonder whether I'm really making the contribution I would like to make. And you know, the old parable that I reminded Tom of, and it's just good for all of us, and I know
which
many of us have heard it
that,
before.
That's perfect.
You know, the story of the man and the starfish and walking the beach, and after the tide's gone out, there's millions of starfish that are beached and up on the beach, and he's walking along the beach, picking each one up one by one and throwing it back in the water so that it can live. And, of course, a younger person comes up to him and says, there's millions of starfish here. You're really not making that big a difference, picking them up one by one and throwing them back. And, of course, his response to the young person was, as he holds one starfish and throws it back, I'm making a difference to that one. And
I think that is so perfect.
And that's something we all have to remember is we're being a reserve parachute for people. We're making a difference to that one.
And I think that goes to the individual, too, is maybe somebody's not picking you up and help you, but you have the power to help yourself in that first stage. You have the power to help yourself, and that's what I try to get. All you have to do is start, and that's really what this program's all about, is individuals, whether you want to have a business or whether you want to move up at the corporate ladder, you need a certain amount of finances in your life to take care of your personal needs. And then as you exceed that amount of money, then you can help other people. And that's, you don't need to make $1 billion to just keep doing it. And I learned that by retiring 7 times. So it's not all it's cracked up to be. So it's what is important to you in your life, and live your life that way. It's not opulence. In my life, my wife and I found out having a lot of stuff is not a big deal.
And really about the idea about retirement, and many listening to this show are boomers, which is why it's on the Boomer and Babe broadcast, is, you know, Tom and I had that conversation now over a year ago. I was retired after a 30-year successful career, saying, okay, I'm retired, I'm happy. And, of course, when you really start getting the questions, are you really? Is there anything else? What is it you still want to do with your life that you haven't done yet? And you really start thinking about those questions and getting back to, I'm still in transition. I'm retired. I'm of that boomer age, but I am in transition and can do something else with my life. Hence the plan and this partnership. We've got just a couple more minutes, though, and we want to make sure, Tom, I know you're doing some exciting things with the technology piece here.
Yeah, the Boomer and the Babe show and business has been a big help to us, success or failure, in promoting our show. And Deborah Brown is going to work on putting the book up as an ebook, so people will be able to purchase it at a much reduced rate. But the money then won't have to go. There won't be as much money going to producing a physical book. But of course, physical books to me are have more meaning. It is a workbook, and it's designed for people to write in it. But Deborah's helping us out with writing a foreword to the book, because as she mentioned, the book is, even though she wants to do things in her life, she saw that by reading the book over, and actually she did it from a business point of view, reading it as a critic, but then she found that there was some things she had to do that helped her own life and her own business, and that's really, she's going to write a foreword for us for the book and put it on as an ebook, and that will make it more accessible for people. So I think in closing, I'd just like to encourage people to go online and see our website, Success or Failure. That's all run together, successorfailure.org, and review the site and contact us. If you have kids that have autism and need help, or you want to just donate to the program, that's any of that is happily accepted. And if you could see these kids that Penny's working with, I'm telling you, she's a godsend. The way that she works with these kids is absolutely unbelievable. She just resonates with them, and it's a wonderful thing to see, where they actually are learning social skills and learning different things. It's not about learning to be a great golfer. It's about learning social skills, which is what most of these young autistic kids helps them out with the most.
Yeah. It's an excellent program. It's one of the reasons we do what we do, and I want to thank you for being involved in that, and I know we are, and Penny and many of the other folks who are helping make that a possibility. As we close the show today, I guess I would just like to remind you all, again, getting back to the theme of this show, to make that commitment to take that first step, to get out of your comfort zone, take that risk, to visualize what success means to you, and start moving forward. The rest of those steps that we've talked about will come, but make that commitment to not let the music die within you, or don't die with the music in you. Make that commitment, and I think as you direct your transition for the rest of your life, you'll find much more success. I want to thank Tom and Cindy for joining us today, and we'll be back, of course, next month on Boomer and the Babe. And so we want to thank you for joining us on Success or Failure with Tom and Terry. We hope you'll join us next month. We're live at 9 a.m. on the last Wednesday of each month. Or you can join us
fourth,
or anytime on www.blogtalkradio.com/Boomer and Babe. In the meantime, feel free to comment and join in the discussion by emailing us at successorfailure.org. Once again, this is Dr. Terry Munther and Tom Legering reminding you that success or failure, the choice is yours.
Thank you very much.
You've been listening to Success or Failure with Tom Legering and Terry Munther. Success or Failure is a Boomer and the Babe Enterprises radio production. Contact them at boomerandthebabe.com.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.